Welcome, everybody, to episode 8 of the Foxcast. Today, we have a very special episode for everybody listening in. It'll be one of those guest host-based podcasts. Unfortunately, though, I will have to tell you all that one of our core members is not here today. Nuvo is off working, doing the hard life, being a busy man, being an adult. We're angry at him, but we'll try to forgive him. But in the meantime, we do have a great guest host to fill in for him and just make this show all the better. We're going to be covering a lot of little things, but mostly we're going to be interviewing this guest host. Otherwise, it's just going to be me and my other regular host doing so. So there's me, Dokes, and over to my virtual right. You know him. You love him. He's the editor of the podcast. Say hello, everybody, Dinah.
Hey, everyone.
And our guest host that I want to introduce to everybody today, they are one of the resident massive Type Moon fanboys that I know. Say hello to everybody. Hi, Taka.
Oh, thank you so much. Hello, everyone. Everyone tuning into the podcast. Thank you so much for watching. Yes, I'm the
the guest. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very thankful for my intro. So that just about covers it. Thank you, Dopes.
Thanks for joining us, Hitaka.
It's an honor.
You were the first person Dinah wanted on our podcast, so we're glad we finally have you on here.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you.
Glad to have you on.
We are going to be covering the basics like always. I will be filling in for Nuvo today to talk about trends, and then we are going to get into the nitty-gritty interview, or as Dinah would say, interrogate our guest host.
I'm prepared.
And then towards the end of the podcast, as always, I will tell you any news or Kitsu changes that has happened, and we'll give you the recommendations of the week. Otherwise, let's have a good episode. You guys ready for this?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. So, trends. I only have two. I don't know if there were more, because Nuvo usually takes notes for these that I could find or remember in less than 24 hours notice. So first off was the Crunchyroll lightning round question set that was going around. I think it was about a dozen questions or so from one of the episodes of their lightning round interview that they do for a variety of anime YouTubers and other people involved in the community. Kins, or Kyans, however you say his name, correct us if you listen in and tell us. K-Y-I-N-S was the person who started this trend, and it took off pretty well. We all answered the questions. It was a lot of fun finding what different people got out of it. So did either one of you guys like this trend or take part in it?
I did not, because
as trends. Normal. I assume you lurked and read people's though.
Oh, yes, I do.
I didn't hear about that particular trend. No, I guess I didn't encounter it much. But what was your experience with it?
It was fun. I took place in it. I answered the questions and, you know, whatnot. It's just always fun when people have, like, a huge set of questions and just tell us more about things that they see in the anime world. Some people did it sarcastically, as always, but it was still pretty fun to see.
Yeah, of course. That always adds an extra element.
All right, so the next trend, the second one that we took place with, was the newest one that my friend Full Metal Hagane started. It is video game bays. It's a recent one that actually started just like 2 days ago, so it's still active. It was a 3x3 classic of just 9 of your favorite video game, like waifu material type of girls.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I've seen a lot of people get really engaged with this, and I think that's kind of awesome. You know, you get to see through an unusual perspective what video games that people really got into, or, you know, they at least liked a certain aspect of it enough to pick a waifu character or a babe character, so to speak. I didn't participate in it personally because it was far too difficult for me to think through all the video game characters that I know. I gave up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think you're like most of us were. Because I have a list of every game I've ever beaten written down.
That's a good idea.
Dang.
So I just scrolled through it. Dinah, of course, again, didn't. He doesn't want to share his waifus. He hoards them like treasure.
No one will know.
But yeah, that was pretty much all the trends. It was pretty quiet this time around. Fun to see people's taste once again, but nothing like mind-blowing or aggravating going around. So without further ado, we are going to start interviewing Hitaka. So let's get down in the gritty and ask some questions, Dinah. What do we want to ask this fella?
All right. So, Hitaka, so how did you first discover Kitsu and what made you want to join the website?
All right. Well, before we start, I'd like to say they're not holding me against my will, and I am doing this of my own volition. So I discovered Hummingbird back in the day because I was listening into Podtaku, my second favorite podcast, of course, after the Foxcast, where Garnt, Holden, Tristan, and Gene, they were discussing this new anime website that was gonna better than my anime list, and that was Hummingbird. So that's how I discovered it. Of course, Garnet Holden, Tristan, and Gene were the first people I followed, followed by all y'all amazing folk eventually. And yeah, and I have stuck with it since Hummingbird. That has been awesome. I really liked it.
Yeah, we were both old Hummingbird users too, not like a brand new to Kitsu. Do you remember how you discovered both of us? I think I might, were you one of the ones I met through one of my streams I did, or did I meet you before that?
That's a good question.
Because I feel like you joined for me for one of my Ghibli streams I ended up doing, right?
Oh, yeah, certainly, I did.
Yes, okay. I think that was the first time you and me actually had a dialogue between each other, at least.
Yeah, we did briefly discuss. So yeah, that's been awesome. I'm really happy I found you guys.
We're the only ones who talked through most of the film.
There's that too.
All right, so of course we know how you got to Kitsu, but a lot of people have fun stories about how they discovered anime. How did you discover yours? Did you discover yours while like stealing somebody's tablet who was watching Hajime no Ippo, or did you just like flip through the TV one day? What happened? How did you find it?
Well, you know, during my childhood, I grew up mostly in Denmark, but in Canada throughout my childhood as well. So I had things like the Magic School Bus to watch on TV's cartoon. Parents introduced me to Tintin, Asterix, Gaston Lagaffe, Nordic children stuff like Pippi Longstockings, Curious George as well, and some Disney and DreamWorks things. But they always had this really weird aversion to Asian animation. It was like, oh, it's all bad stuff, so don't watch Pokemon, don't watch Yu-Gi-Oh, don't watch Beyblade, all this stuff.
It's the devil!
Yeah, they had that really strange, and I mean, both my parents are Danish, and they're fairly open about, you know, their opinions on things and why they see things the way they do, but that was always just like a thing. It was just like, oh, it's because it's crap, basically. So the first time I watched an anime properly was actually Kiki's Delivery Service in the year 2005, where it was having it was riding the wave of the 2003 premiere of Spirited Away that had been in Denmark. And so one of my dad's colleagues, he was like, oh man, I know you have kids. Have you taken your kids in to see, you know, Kiki's Delivery Service? They're rerunning it in theaters. It's amazing. My dad was like, no, I have a prejudice against that. And he's like, oh no, you have to do it. Please do it for me. You know, my dad, he bent his knee and he took us in, me and my three younger siblings, to watch Kiki's Delivery Service. And we were blown away. It was so good. And ever since then, my parents accepted Ghibli. So it was mostly Ghibli from then on. And even once I got my own computer and access to the internet, I didn't feel a need to discover more Japanese animation until a friend in Washington, D.C., when I lived there, gave me some anime and manga recommendations. Just out of the blue, she was like, hey, you know, could you be interested in this stuff? And I was like, you know what, maybe I'll give it a shot. So I remember I watched Cardcaptor Sakura and I started watching Fairy Tail. And then it went from there, and I discovered loads of other stuff. It's been really great.
Ah, cool, cool. Yeah, Kiki is near and dear to my heart. It was the second Ghibli film I ever saw since about the time when I started getting into anime again after I fell out from the years of being in middle school and high school and got back in as a late high schooler and adult. It's one of the first things I ended up watching since I owned Totoro as a kid. It's wonderful to see that films like that are still so universal. I think that's the one thing that Ghibli doesn't get enough credit for within our own community sometimes, because it's cool to hate on popular things at times, is it really introduces a lot of people to the medium in a way, or lets them show it to their family. Because I've gone to the theaters with my mom and seen a lot of films too for Ghibli. She doesn't even really like anime, and she'll go see all those because she thinks they're wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Same situation here. I completely agree.
And it's funny to see one of your earliest anime was like Cardcaptor Sakura, since like when I was growing up with anime, that was such a popular show for a lot of people, along with, you know, stuff like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z and Yu Hakusho and so forth.
She recommended all those things to me, but I went with Cardcaptor Sakura because it was more it was less overwhelming.
it's wonderful that you just got into the whole anime medium through that movie. And after that, did you sort of start to watch like the weekly shows, the weekly airing kind of cartoons? I noticed, like, I'm not sure if they air like One Piece or Yu-Gi-Oh! Did you watch those weekly after as well?
Well, for the first year after I got into anime, I was still living in the States. I kept up, surprisingly, I kept up with Fairy Tail. Also through the weekly releases up to episode 150-something. And then I, you know, when it stopped and it went on a break, a hiatus, call it, I started reading the manga, and then I got into reading manga, and then I read Codebreaker, which is still dear to my heart. It's sort of my guilty pleasure manga because it's actually not very good, in my opinion, but I really, really, really enjoyed reading it. there's some elements of it that it was just a pleasure. And then when I was finished with it, I was like, that wasn't actually very good, but I can't say I don't like it because I really enjoyed it. So
absolutely.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
And then, but then mostly it was catching up on the awesome things that were already available. All the awesome series and movies and short films that were all out there for me to discover. Yeah. I did watch Garden of Words on release day, though. It was a very quick fan sub of it out. And I saw a trailer for it on YouTube randomly. I clicked it by accident, I think. I was like, wow, this is coming out like tomorrow. And then I checked the next day, and sure enough, there was someone that made a fan sub of it and put it up in high quality. And it was amazing. The Garden of Words, that is.
It is beautiful.
I know before we were recording, you said you really love Shinkai. Was that your introduction to him?
It was, in fact, my introduction to him. So from there, I went to 5 centimeters per second and rewatched The Garden of Words. And later on, had an unfortunate run-in with Children Who Chase Lost Voices. But I forgive Shinkai all those sins because Your Name was amazing that I watched recently. Your Name, 5 centimeters per second, Garden of Words. I love them. So good.
Beautiful films.
Yeah. And, you know, and since then, I mean, Attack on Titan, obviously, I watched that when it was airing. Season 2, not so much because 4-year time gap between, you know, releases. I had other stuff to do. So yeah, there's a bit of both.
That's awesome. So how has anime changed for you since you started first watching it? And has it been mostly the same for you? Has it changed since you started watching it? How has it, like, evolved in your eyes?
Okay, so when I first discovered it, obviously Kiss Delivery Service and the subsequent Ghibli films that my parents bought so we could watch at home, it was completely unexpected because, you know, I trust my parents to an extremely high degree and I respect them and their opinions are generally very well-grounded and good. But it opened my eyes up to, hey, you know, it's ridiculous, like something this ridiculously good has existed for many years and I've just never been exposed to it before. So maybe it's worth looking for stuff myself too. So Ghibli was a possibility opener for me. And I got into some franchises that I really like Ghost in the Shell franchise, the Fate franchise, obviously, and Lupin the Third. And I found out that anime can have some more adult themes through watching Black Lagoon and No Longer Human. And then I found anime that I really identify with romantically as well. Some Shinkai films have elements of, you know, young, innocent romance or related themes, and but also anime worlds that were just so fascinating and interesting that I could really picture myself in them. Like Mushishi, that was fantastic. It was, I saw it and I was like, man, this guy has my ideal job in my ideal world. It's just awesome and chill and cool and interesting to go around discovering things like that.
And Ginkgo's best boy.
Ginkgo is so chill. And, you know, and then I started seeing why anime has been less respected in my home country of Denmark and through my parents' eyes as well, because, of course, I went through that phase where I was exposed to all the adult, not safe for work anime content and the fan service stuff that goes a little too far. And then I can see it from both sides at that point, but I'm still very thoroughly invested in the opinion that anime is amazing and great, and everyone, there's something in it for everyone.
It's wonderful.
No, I definitely can't disagree there. Because anime is so much, it's just like any other storytelling medium. There are so many genres, so many ways of telling the story that there's no way to put a blanket statement and write it off as saying, oh, this is trash, this is lewd. I mean, there are plenty of stuff that fits under that category as well, but find me a storytelling medium that doesn't have that stuff and I'll call you a liar. And there's so many things that are like, that cover ideas from family to life and death to who is best girl. I mean, important topics, but there's a huge variety of things, from joking aside, like that you can cover. And so I guess for you, anime has really evolved. Like, you become not only more educated on it naturally as you've invested more time into it, but you've also come to understand why some people hold their viewpoints, but then you also have a good foundation for why you hold your own, which is great, because highly agree with where you're coming from on that.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate that, you know, Kitsu has helped me continue with that trend of interest and sharing my experiences with others and getting others into it and others letting others get me into aspects of anime that I either hadn't seen or was doubtful about but end up really liking, and then discussing everything between heaven and earth related to it. So it's all great.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because I'm sure you, like me, never really had a community-based experience discussing anime with people that much before, I would assume. And then now it's like a pretty much a regular part of your social life.
Yeah, exactly.
clearly you've found a lot of series that you have fallen head over heels in love with, even though you don't wear heels, as far as I know.
Yeah, as far as you know.
No judging. No judging.
I mean, if he likes to wear heels when he watches stuff, I won't judge. What anime out of all of them has really impacted your time with the medium the most? Like, what series has really got, or movies, or have really invested you in a way that really, those are like your ideal of going, this is why anime is so special to me?
Well, I mean, we've already covered a bunch of it, so I'll give some summary and add some more. So Kiki's Delivery Service was the big eye-opener animation-wise, and that continued with things like Redline and Jinro, amongst, of course, the rest of the Ghibli movies, and the Makoto Shinkai and Mamoru Hosoda version of storytelling, and telling a very personal human story about either love or sacrifice or getting by and surviving, have been really great. Of course, emotional. I mean, I wasn't expecting a cartoon. I mean, I wasn't one of those kids who got horrified when Bambi's mom died. I'm sorry. But that seemed too unreal for me, which is weird.
I just don't even like Bambi.
Just did. Ah, there's that too. But I never really got emotionally invested in cartoons. I was excited to see the Magic School Bus on TV because it had science in it. That's about it. Laputa Castle in the Sky had a scene where it made me cry, actually, watching that for the first time and every subsequent time. It's a self-sacrifice scene that I won't spoil, and a moment of understanding that is just so pure and amazing, and it has to end, and you see it ending. And Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, where she is misunderstood, and she loses something that she greatly cared for due to a misunderstanding that people can't see things her way. That resonated with me a lot as a child because I wanted to keep stick insects and snails and stuff, and they always just, and spiders, they always just got thrown out in the forest by my parents because they're like, ew, bugs at home, not nice. But also on a deeper level, of course, things like Grave of the Fireflies, just extremely sad and depressing, but beautiful and worth watching. No Longer Human, much the same, but on an individual level. 5 centimeters per second and Your Name being beautiful and riveting, but really with a very simple romance and character-based plot that I wasn't expecting from anime, if you'd asked me, even when I was starting to get into the media. Jinro was the first emotional anime that made me very calm at the same time. I actually discovered Jinro through a YouTuber called Demolition D, who sadly hasn't made videos in a very long time. He recommended it as a sort of quiet but profound anime movie. And that's exactly what it turned out to be. And I really just emotionally, it gets me in an emotional state of just enjoying it and being calm and relaxed, even though there's a drama unfolding on the screen. And no other movie, live action or animated, has really given me that specific impulse before. And then, of course, I discovered my two of my favorite animes, which always give me the most sincere hype feelings every time I go to watch them. I'm watching them, Karu no Kyokai and especially Carnival Phantasm, because I smile like a complete fool with a huge buffoon smile on my face whenever I'm watching anything from that. I can be listening to the soundtrack, I'd be watching a scene, I can be watching, marathoning the whole thing, and I will not stop smiling.
The power of 2D.
It has some power, and it's really great that it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't dispute a lot of the moments you have named. I've experienced as well, and I love them a lot. But did you not like grow up watching Lion King or anything? I mean, that movie is a great example of a Disney film that really like is tier worthy.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I mentioned a bunch of sort of Western movies or television related media, and Disney movies. I think Tarzan was the one I watched the most just because we had it on VHS. And I really didn't like one of the parents. Well, spoiler alert for Tarzan, hold yours for the next 5 seconds. The parents get killed by a jaguar. Spoiler over.
Yeah.
That part made me sad a bit. Well, I wanted to sympathize with Tarzan, but he didn't understand what was going on because he was a baby. So it really kind of halted me being sad directly after making me sad, because I realized that it just moves the story forward. It doesn't leave much of an impact otherwise, which I really felt was, I don't know, I felt it was odd. So I spent more time pondering that it was odd. I mean, with The Lion King and other things, other Disney movies, I did have emotional moments, but they were, I don't know, Disney never seemed...
Well, they don't stay in those moments. They try to find ways to lift you back up because they are still at their heart are supposed to be children's films.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the moments from Ghibli movies that mostly, unless you're watching Grave of the Fireflies, in which case good luck getting up from another aspect of the movie.
Well, I think the audience approach from Disney versus Ghibli is different, though, because Miyazaki's films, while they are clearly watchable for children, they aren't aimed at children most of the time, unless it's like maybe Totoro or Ponyo or something.
Yeah.
I'd say Castle in the Sky is supposed to be a film for most everyone. Well, most Disney films, they add adult things in them.
That's true, for entertainment.
Versus being targeted at children.
Yeah.
But I see what you're talking about. You're seeking something more on that. It's a consistent level of, like, you know, a more serious nature.
On the topic of Disney, and sorry if we're moving a little bit away from anime in general, but has Pixar ever had that impact on you as well?
Toy Story 2 definitely did. For me.
What about Up or something like
that? Oh, now you reminded me. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Inside Out was also one too.
Yeah. I think Pixar finds that feel more, the one that he's talking about that the Ghibli films do, where it is a little bit more for everybody, but they definitely clearly make their films for adults more.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on from emotional investment to more of a physical investment, have you ever attended any anime-related events, and do you have any stories around or behind them?
I did, actually. When I was living in the States for that 1 year after I got into anime, I attended both Anime USA, which is, I believe, is held in the fall. It's a smaller convention in Washington, D.C., and I also attended Otakon, which is a bigger, much more well-known anime convention event.
Maryland.
Yeah, exactly, in Maryland. And that was
Otakon.
Otakon, and that was awesome.
Otakon!
That was so amazing. And, you know, Anime USA, I was still getting into anime. I maybe just finished watching Cardcaptor Sakura and maybe half of Fairy Tail, so I was still fairly new to it. So I just went around and enjoyed and absorbed all the cosplay, which there isn't that much of at Anime USA. It's gotten better, but there wasn't that much exposure for it back then. It was kind of smaller. So I went around absorbing it and listening to people and, you know, going through the vendors, the small vendors hall, and seeing all the different stuff that I could get interested in once I'd seen more anime and read more manga to know and appreciate more of it. And then Otakon came along. And I actually cosplayed as Gray from Fairy Tail, which is a very simple cosplay that I was thankfully fit enough for at the time, because it requires that you have some kind of abdominal structure that is not flab.
I like Nuvo, all those abs that he's got.
Shout out to Nuvo's abs.
Ab shout out. That had to happen. But I cosplayed from as Gray from Fairy Tail, and I went with a friend who cosplayed as Mavis from Fairy Tail, and we had an awesome time. And I really got much more out of the vendors hall at that convention, which is, you know, it's also much bigger and a much bigger turnover in money. Other than that, it was because I was cosplaying myself, it added that extra bit of interest into cosplay that I could see and appreciate and really get completely stunned and overwhelmed by some of the levels of cosplay that exist at these huge anime conventions. Super impressive.
Oh yeah, the amount of money invested. No kidding. Is crazy.
Exactly. And the investment and money and attention to detail is spectacular. And the only real event that I attended, other than the Fairy Tail cosplay meetup, which you can still find pictures of somewhere, it was the an AMV competition. And that's what got me into AMVs, actually. It was really funny and emotional and surprisingly well done by relative amateurs. Just putting something out there as a tribute to something to do with anime.
You like Fairy Tail and AMVs, man. I feel like you'd make good friends with my girlfriend, because she discovers 80% of her anime by watching AMVs, and she's a massive Fairy Tail fan.
Oh yeah, I mean, I stopped cold in my tracks with just watching tons of AMVs when I got massively spoiled for a few series that I ended up really liking when I watched them later. I was like, okay.
That's why I typically avoid them myself too. Spoilers, because I'm like, spoilers aren't.
But yeah, I like AMVs a great deal, and I have a massive AMV, favorites AMV playlist on YouTube that I watch frequently, just marathon it all the way through on shuffle, and it really brings back and helps me relive those shorter impact things about various animated media that I like.
I am going to ask you, when we're done recording, to give me a link to your favorite one, and I'm going to leave that for everybody listening, the top choice pick of Hitaka's AMVs as a link in the links when we make the special post for this.
Ooh.
So if you want to see the top of the top. So at once post recording, we'll have something fun for you guys to watch on the side.
Certainly. I will definitely get on that. But yeah, so that was that's just about my experience with anime events. There was an anime con while I've been back in Copenhagen, Denmark, studying at university. I went to the open dealer's hall on the Sunday because the tickets were kind of expensive to get in, and the open dealer's hall event on Sunday was great, and I picked up some soundtracks, met a few friends there, but you know, Denmark is still a relatively small scene for that, so it didn't surprise me much. The one thing about anime events that I'm really thankful for is actually my friends who do attend them religiously and are very thorough with signing up to events and stuff, because a friend of mine, the same one who recommended me some other anime while I was living in the States, got me a signed poster signed by Carrie Walgren, who is the voice actor for Saber in Fate Zero. So she got me a signed voice actress poster from Fate Zero, and that was just amazingly awesome.
Well, bridging off, my next question was going to be ask you if you had any standout merchandise. So you've named a few. Is there anything else really awesome that you have that you'd like to give a little shout out to?
Well, I mean, the signed poster that I got as a gift is spectacular. I haven't framed it or put it up yet, but I definitely will, because it's the kind of thing that you can't buy. You know, it doesn't have a value because it's unique.
Yeah, the poster is cool, but the signed version is just that's the special factor.
Priceless.
It's so special.
Like Dinah Smile.
Oh, certainly, certainly unique and precious. But but yeah, so I have some DVD and Blu-ray collections. I also have, of course, my extremely well-loved Type Moon collection. I have an album on Imgur or Imgur, or how you want to pronounce that, with my Type Moon stuff, because I've gone a little overboard with that specifically.
Just a wee bit.
Just a tad. But yeah, OSTs, I find original soundtracks are really fantastic. Just a category of anime-related merchandise and media that really stands out. Appreciated.
What would you say is your prized OST that you own?
Original
like,
soundtrack.
What is your number one OST that you own? Like the one like, this is the best. This is the best for the money I spent on it.
I got it. The Kara no Kyokai OST, and also the OST that came with the box set for the 8th Kara no Kyokai movie. Those together are just so amazing. Yuki Kajirin nailed it with the Kara no Kyokai soundtrack. So good.
One of the best in the business, and I have heard a lot of just spectacular lauding for her composition for those for that film series.
Oh, so amazing. Spectacular.
Beautiful soundtracks.
Yeah.
You're just naming all sorts of movies that Dinah likes. You talked Redline earlier, and I'm sure he just had a big smile on his face when he heard that, because he loves Redline.
Oh, yeah. When you mention Redline, ugh. Yeah. Beautiful animation, beautiful soundtrack, everything.
Yeah, it's spectacular. I do have Redline on Blu-ray. It's the first anime Blu-ray that I bought, actually, along with Ghost in the Shell at the same time. Because it's really, apparently it was underappreciated when it was released in Japan, but I feel like it definitely gets all the love it deserves from us international anime fans. And it deserves every ounce of it.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful film. So that's pretty much it for all the animated questions for this podcast. And in terms of the podcast itself, what would you like to see out of this podcast in the future? What would you like to see us do in the future, projects to work on? What would you personally like to recommend for us?
Well, you all always have a great time seemingly doing these podcasts, and I'd like for you all to continue doing that, because it just makes it so much more fun to listen in on. It's much more engaging, and just topics on anime or manga, maybe a franchise specific topic, media news, you're all really good at mentioning that here on the podcast. So I feel we get treated to all of these special editions already. Perhaps if you ever come across maybe some a voice acting or an animation or music related topic, I think that would be really cool. But you do also always have those bits in. Just spontaneously get a weird insight into some anime related thing where you're like, that could be really, I want to discuss that with someone. Just somehow making that fit in would be great. And I really like the dev blog episode with Josh. Of course, I understand that Josh has his box of secrets that he needs to keep hidden. He can't open his Pandora's box up to us Kitsu users all the time, or he wouldn't be special anymore. But I would definitely tune into more Josh or other Kitsu dev interviews or discussions. That's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for those.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll keep that in mind. You already, because we were just bridging off a little bit, made me think, gosh, what would be fun to do is like a comparing Disney versus Ghibli, like what they're aiming to do would be a fun possible discussion topic.
Yeah, you got something right there. Keep a hold of that.
So we've covered the long-winded questions, and Hitaka was ready. He had his pen and paper, and he was like, oh, you don't think I have notes? I have notes, let me tell you. But it is time for the quick format lightning round, brought to you by me, of course. So these are going to be a set of quick fire questions. If you need to elaborate a little bit, that is fine, but don't worry about over elaborating. That's not what we're here for. It's just important, to the point type of stuff. All right, first, are you a seasonal or binge watcher with your anime? Do you binge watch your stuff, or do you watch it like week by week?
Well, I'm mostly a marathon watcher, so I catch up on all the awesome things that I missed when it came out, with a few exceptions, and that I'm also a very impulsive rewatcher, so I'll just, when I feel like it, I'll pick up a series like Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex, or I'll start somewhere in Fate, or Kara no Kyokai, or Wizard of Ghibli movies, or Cowboy Bebop, and I'll just rewatch that whenever I feel like it.
Yeah, rewatches are quite fun. I'm in the middle of a Death Note one myself right now.
Oh, I need to watch them.
Do you use any other anime-based websites for tracking or social purposes?
Well, I used to use a really weird website called The Otaku, and I also used My Anime List. I am not available on those anymore. I still use the Anime News Network and YouTube. And I find that you can communicate with a lot of the YouTube content creators over Discord if you feel like it. They have groups set up for that. And that's really added a little extra dimension to the anime community for me.
All right. Wonderful. Yeah, I agree. That's one of the best things about them being small is they create a conversation with their fan base because they care. Who creates your favorite content on all of Kitsu? Oh. Put you on the spot here.
Oh, dang. Well, definitely the Foxcast. Has to be my number one pick for that. And honestly, anyone who gets in on trends, I could mention all the people that I love holding discussions with on Kitsu, of course, including you guys, Dokes and Dinah. But I know that I'll forget someone and they'll be horribly offended and they'll probably hate me forever. I will hate myself. So I'm just going to go with anyone I enjoy holding discussions with, the Foxcast, and trendy people.
He loves you all.
That was a very Dinah-esque answer. Avoid any specific names. Who is your waifu for laifu, and why is she the best?
Oh, dang. Well, that's going to have to be Arturia Pendragon, or Saber from the Fate franchise, because she's charismatic, kind, witty, fierce, and really has enjoyable on-screen chemistry with all the other characters. And she's honest, fun, but really honorable. She likes a good duel. She's protective, caring, and overall just adorable. So, in a non-creepy way.
Saber. Well, I mean, she is dead and several hundred years old, so you're fine.
Yeah. The King Arthur fan art, by the way, is very real. I do have some pieces that I made.
If you could be in any anime, what anime would it be and why?
It would have to be Mushishi, because it has Mushishi was, damn, I want to be in this. That was just initially, and I've never had that reaction to anything before. It has a feudal Japan aesthetic. It has Mushi, this kind of weird, mysterious, misunderstood life form. I really hope if I was dropped into the world of Mushishi that I'd be able to perceive them, because if not, that would kind of suck a little more. But, you know, and his unspoiled nature and scenery and just endless possibilities.
Well, we could say if you are Mushishi that you are a Mushi master. That way you could see them, because you're going in there, so why not, right?
That would definitely be the deal I'd want.
That was a lot less of a perverted answer than Josh gave us, which is nice.
Josh. Slightly less perverted.
He's like, it's either Pokemon or a hentai. I'm torn. Which I was just like, that's only Josh, man. Only Josh.
Well, that's fair enough, I guess.
If you were a master in the Fate universe, what heroic spirit would you think you would summon?
For me, I'm going to have to go with two kind of bizarre ones that probably no one's ever heard of before, but honestly, I have to be honest with my answers. It's either Peter Tordenskjold, who was a Danish naval spy and a hero in real life. Super awesome guy. Was always loyal, even though he acted behind the scenes. Then we have Holger Danske, who is Hogar, the Danish mythical knight with a sword and shield. And he's a statue. And he comes to life if Denmark is ever in a crisis, and he will fight for us on the front lines. So I'm like, yes, that would be awesome to meet him. Kind of like meeting Alexander the Great from Fate Zero. Just an all-around awesome, charismatic guy. Just a bro.
I didn't even write this down, but what classes do you think those two would be?
Peter Tordenskjold, I could imagine as an assassin, but a kind of a lawful good assassin, which would be really weird. Or perhaps a writer, because a lot of ship-based characters tend to be writers. And Holger Danske, I'd say most probably Saber, but a Berserker Hakodensuke would be really interesting as well.
And which heroic spirit that has not been summoned before would you like to see? Would it be one of those two, or is there somebody else that you would like to see?
This would be, it would have to be Loki, the Norse god.
Oh, the trickster god.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was imagining, because definitely I wouldn't want him, because, you know, he's trickster god, and he would, yeah, you know, double cross me and everything and probably do some horrible things. But he is, in lore, Norse mythology, the possibilities are amazing. You know, he could be a caster or a berserker. So he had runic magic, but he also went crazy sometimes. And he could morph into salmon and horses. And he often had intercourse with other animals while he was in those forms, which would make fan service really weird. But he could have, you know, he has children. He has Hel as a child. He has the Fenris wolf as a child, the Midgard serpent as a child. And he has Narfir and Narvi as two real sons that he got with his wife. And in the lore, one of his sons was forced to kill his other son. And then the victorious son was taken by the gods, and his intestines were torn out of him and used to bind Loki to a rock as punishment for something that Loki had done. So he would have, not only would he have like the trifecta of Ragnarok with Hel, Fenris, and the Midgard Serpent as his, perhaps, maybe, you know, his noble phantasms, but he would also have a god chain ability where he'd throw his son's intestines at people, or maybe use them to bind himself. I don't know. The possibilities are so good.
Yeah, I feel like Gilgamesh would trick you. Yeah, I'm sure Loki would be 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And the final lightning round question, for me at least, unless Dinah has thought of something in the meantime. What is your most hyped anime of the fall season? And I'm also going to let myself and Dinah, and I'm going to shout out Nuvos as well after Hitaka answers. So don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. It won't just be Hitaka's answer you get here. We're all going to answer this one.
Oh yeah, you better believe that. So my personal most anticipated fall season anime, I'm going to pick a movie, and I'm going to go with the first Fate Stay Night Heaven's Feel movie. Because I feel like Type Moon is going to blow it out of the water. They have all the possibilities. You know, previous works, Kaburo no Kyokai had some very dark and raw themes. They could show that from Heaven's Feel if they wanted to. Or they could go a much more mild route, but still show some crazy stuff that goes on. And I'm really hoping that it's going to be amazing.
I'm not even that big of a Fate fan, and I'm excited for it. So I hope it's good.
Same.
All right, Dinah, what is yours?
I haven't really checked out a lot, but I would definitely, hands down, give it to the third season of Shokugeki no Soma, or Food Wars.
Well, and I thought that was an obvious pick for you, because you're a longtime Food Wars fan, so returning with the third season, it's going to be great for you, I'm sure.
It's absolutely great, and it's 24 episodes, for those wondering how long it is.
Oh, so it is full 2 quarters, cool. That's nice, because season 2 is only 12, right?
Yes.
Or was it 20? Yeah. Okay. Second plate, as they called it.
Remember a snack while you're watching that, by the way. Always makes you hungry.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Hungry for multiple things, for bodies and for food.
Yes.
All right, Nuvo's pick is, I'm going to butcher the Japanese name if I say it, so I'll say the English name. It's The Ancient Magus Bride.
Oh.
It was a 3-part OVA series, but now the official series has also begun. Its first episode aired the other day. It's like a fantasy-based series and also a romance, so maybe it'll be great. I need to watch the OVA still, so I can't say much on it.
It's a beautiful fantasy film. I think the Japanese name is called like Mahotsukai no Yome or something like that.
There's the man who can say it right.
It's a beautiful film.
Yeah, I've wanted to read the manga for a while.
Yeah, it's supposed to, the art's really pretty for it too.
It is.
Wit Studio.
And the anime, it has just, they've brought into life in the best way, it looks like.
That's going to be awesome.
And for me, my pick of the season, I've mentioned it before to Nuvo and Dinah, Inu Yashike is the one I'm most excited for. It is about this, like, he's like a 60-year-old man whose family hates him, his life sucks, and suddenly he is given the powers of basically, like, this, like, godlike robot thing. And he decides, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to start saving people. And things are going well until he discovers that one other guy in Japan, who's this young fellow, has also gotten the same powers. And instead of being a hero, this guy is murdering people and just bizarre in really fucked up ways. So it's going to be basically a hero versus villain story of some young, charismatic, evil person versus a down-on-his-luck old fellow who is trying to turn his life around.
Oh, damn.
Sounds
great. I didn't know that was getting an anime adaptation. I'm going to have to check that out.
And it's being animated by Studio MAPPA, so that should be nice and pretty.
Oh, awesome.
That should start in about 3 days, last time any chart, if any chart is accurate, which it's accurate half the time.
Well, now I'm suddenly a seasonal anime watcher.
Start of anime seasons are always so hype.
Yeah, yes. I don't watch a lot of seasonal anymore because of my relationship with my girlfriend takes up a lot more of my time, so I don't really have, and also the fall seasons when I do my annual marathon challenge in November, so I wanted to do it light. There are a lot of shows coming back, everybody, though. There are tons, and I mean tons, of series coming back for new seasons. He mentioned Food Wars. We're also going to be getting Osamatsu is getting a new season, which I believe already aired its first episode. Kekkai Sensen, or Blood Blockade Battlefront, its second season is airing, and its first episode was very much in line with the first season so far, and many, many more shows. There's like at least 8 to 10 shows this season that are returning shows with new seasons. It's super exciting. But now, on to the news! Or Kitsu changes. Kitsu has not gone through many changes. Its dash has been slightly improved over the last few days and is a little bit more functional, but that's really it. In terms of anime news, I don't know too much off the top of my head. I wasn't really able to find too much that was interesting. But today they announced officially that Natsume Yujin Cho is getting an anime film next year. So I'm super excited for that, as that's one of my favorite franchises.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Great that it's six. What is it? 6 seasons? 5 seasons?
There's 6 seasons so far and 4 OVAs, and it was 4 seasons originally until people from Studio Brainspace formed Studio Shuka. The first 2 years in production, they did 2 years of about new Durera seasons, and the last 2 years, they've been making more Natsume content along with the anime original 91 Days. So I'm really liking what Studio Shuka's been doing so far. I can't wait for the movie. And after we're done with this, I beg you, please, because it's the same creative team behind Durera and Natsume, make more Bakano. Please.
Yes. Needs to happen. Needs to happen. Even an OVA would just be heaven sent. It'd be so good.
Just anything. Yeah. A movie, if it has to be. I don't care. Just something.
I mean, we did get a teaser recently for the Kitsu app from Josh on his news. But that was just a teaser, so it's not really news yet, but I look forward to seeing how they're developing that.
Other than that, not too much different, guys. News has been pretty barren anime and Kitsu wise. Just some teasers for stuff, nothing huge. A lot of the news has been the new season coming out, but you'll be hearing all about that in your local anime community soon on Kitsu, because they always cover the most popular stuff. So we're to the recommendations of the week. What is the show that you recommend everybody, Hitaka, that everybody should go out, watch, and tell us what they think?
All right. Well, I'm going to recommend for you today a movie, because then very few people will have the excuse that it takes too long or it's too much of an investment. The anime movie called Miss Hokusai, which I recommend you watch because blew me out of the water, and it's awesome. If you need any incentive to watch it, it's Hokusai's daughter set in feudal Japan, with lots of crazy arts and lifestyle interpretations. And it's just so worth watching that I have to recommend it.
Yeah, and it's been very well received in Japan so far. And I will definitely leave a link in English and Japanese below for everybody for whatever you prefer. So if you had any issues understanding what he said for the title, I know what the show is, or the movie, so I will link everybody to it. Of course, user recommendation of the week is our guest host, Hitaka. He is one of the people that we've wanted on here for a while. He's been one of the most passionate and consistent listeners for our podcast. And all around, he's super polite like Dinah, and he's basically as polite as Dinah and talks as much as me, so he's a perfect mixture.
You get the best of both.
Oh, you guys are too kind. Jeez.
Really, thank you for joining us, Hitaka.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor. And a real pleasure.
I was about to say, it's been a pleasure for us too. Now, before we sign off and say goodbye, was there anything else you wanted to ask him, Dinah?
Nothing in particular.
All right, sounds good. Was there anything else you wanted to mention or shout out before we say goodbye today, Hitaka?
Well, of course, a shout out goes out to everyone on Kitsu who is tuning into these podcasts, people just starting to get into it. Highly recommend you go back and check all the episodes, because they are all this great, if not at least a bunch better. And shout out to my friend Jeffrey, who joined Kitsu today.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Who is undoubtedly listening to this as soon as it comes out.
Oh, wonderful. What's Jeffrey's username on the site?
He hasn't disclosed that to me, but I will definitely get on finding that soon.
All right. Well, you can tell them to follow Dinah and me or Nuvo or all of us, and then we'll start the community experience for Jeffrey. Welcome to Kitsu, Jeffrey.
Well, thank you.
Welcome, welcome.
On behalf of Jeffrey, thank you very much.
Jeffrey's going to be like, how dare you? I don't want to talk to these strangers.
Nah, he's chill.
It was absolutely wonderful having you on. I love asking some of these base questions and seeing how different the answers are from everybody. So thank you, Hitaka. It was absolutely wonderful having you. For everybody listening, wherever you are, I hope you're having a good morning, a good afternoon, or a good evening. My name is Dokes.
And I'm Hitaka. I hope you have a very chill time and enjoyed listening and continue to listen in. And all the best to you from our Foxcast.
And I am Dinah. Thank you both, Dokes and Hitaka, for being on today's episode. And we will catch you all next time.
Bye-bye, guys. We love you.